All right, welcome into another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom. Do that. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell your Amazon Alexa to play Locked On Bulls. You can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any questions or advertising inquiries. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, I'm still in Vegas, still covering Team USA. They are going to play their first exhibition game tomorrow, and Jimmy Butler will be playing in the game. We don't know what unit he'll be on. We don't know if it's going to be indicative of what they're going to do in the Olympics, what Coach K is going to be playing, but I think they're just kind of trying stuff out. But Jimmy Butler's going to be playing with Team USA tomorrow.
We need to look at the betting line on this or something. I feel like the Americans are going to be prohibited favorites. Who are they playing again? I already forgot.
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me look it up. I know that the one in Chicago next week at the United Center is against Venezuela. But
so you're saying you've been at Team USA basketball all this time, and they don't even know who they're playing exactly? Like, they're not talking about it per se? Because remember, like, in the 1992 Olympics, Charles Barkley famously said, they kept, like, asking about Angola, and Barkley goes, I don't know nothing about Angola, but they in trouble. That was, like, an all-time quote, I think, you know, in NBA lexicon or whatnot.
So it was almost as good as anybody who says Summer League doesn't matter, hasn't won Summer League. The U.S. team is playing Argentina tomorrow night, and I'm not sure, I would doubt that Manu Ginobili is going to be on the team.
Yeah, Argentina, were they not the last ones to win the gold medal in the Olympics in 2004? They're basically what spawned this USA juggernaut.
Like, they are,
maybe
because
they are going to have got what's coming to them, you know, again, 12 years later.
Yeah, they are. They kind of spawned the juggernaut, because in 2004, that team was such a disaster that, you know, that just kind of made everybody say, okay, we need to start taking this USA basketball thing more seriously. And that's when you started getting all the superstars playing in it, and then the U.S. just became prohibitive favorites. And, you know, there's been a little bit of, you know, talk on the fringes of, like, the NBA media about, hey, is Team USA vulnerable? But just being around, like, this group this week at training camp, this is a team that still has Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and DeMarcus Cousins and, like, all these all-star guys. Like, they'll be fine. Like, I think they're going to destroy everybody in the Olympics.
Yeah, it was important that Kevin Durant's on that team, because he can, again, he's a top three basketball player in the world and can just take over and win anything on his own. And I found it interesting that I believe it was Coach K the other day was referencing, I don't know if you were there in the scrum, but they asked him about Kobe and kind of his USA basketball legacy and whether it was hard to tell Kobe to not come back and play for Team USA. And Coach K said something along the lines of, I think he should go out on that 50-point game, that's what I would have told him. But then he also referenced how in 08, like, game on the line, like a 2 or 3-point game against Spain in the gold medal final, and it was Kobe and Dwayne Wade, Chicago Bull shooting guard Dwayne Wade, who took over that basketball game and won the Americans the medal. So news also came down today that Marc Gasol will not be playing for Spain because of his foot injury. Hasn't recovered as quickly as the Grizzlies and Spain, the national team, was hoping. So I think the road to gold just got easier for Team USA, but there still will come a time where, like, you need your star players to kind of step up and take over, and it's nice to have Kevin Durant, if you're an American, when that happens in the Olympics.
Yeah, totally. And, yeah, the Marc Gasol news is pretty big. Spain, just generally speaking, has been the U.S.'s biggest rival in terms of, you know, these kinds of international tournaments, because they had the Gasol brothers, Serge Ibaka, on the Spanish team. They, you know, Ricky Rubio. They have other guys like, you know, Sergio Rodriguez, who has been out of the NBA for a few years, but he's back in the NBA now. Like, they're probably, like, besides the U.S., they're probably the second most, you know, the second most talented group in the world in terms of having NBA caliber talent. The you know, Marc Gasol is not playing in this tournament, but his brother, his older brother, former Chicago Bull, very recently former Chicago Bull, Pau Gasol, I believe, is.
Yeah, so, like, Pau had the huge Euro performance there. I think it was 2015, last year, I think.
And Nikola Mirotic is also going to be playing for the Spanish team.
Yeah, that's true. There's actually going to be a lot of Bull storylines. I didn't think about this. As much. Obviously, you can tell we did a tremendous amount of research today for this podcast because the Bulls news has been so lively in the past 2 days with the official signing of Isaiah Cannon.
Isaiah Cannon is officially a Chicago Bull. We're not going to get a DeAndre Jordan in Dallas situation with Isaiah Cannon.
Very, very true. I think we've spent enough time on previous podcasts breaking down what he might contribute as the 10th or 11th man on the team, but Sean, I wanted to ask, I saw a few Twitter rumblings today. Jimmy Butler is apparently killing it at Team USA practice, late scrimmage, shooting drills. I don't know if he's out there taking charges and, like, giving his body up in drills or what, but you're in Vegas, like, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? Like, what's Jimmy doing? Is he making a name for himself a little more?
Well, yeah, I've asked some people on the team about him. Everybody seems like they've been really impressed with him. Coach K said yesterday that he had never seen Jimmy Butler play in person at all before this week, and that he was really impressed by how hard he works and how talented he is. So it seemed like he's making a positive impression in his first time being involved with Team USA. As far as how he's looked in practice, I haven't seen him taking any charges, but he has been pretty heavily involved in the shooting drills that they've let us come in and watch. The first day, he was pretty into it, and when it came to, like, some of the shooting drills they were doing where guys were closing out, he was, like, making sure that Harrison Barnes got called for fouls against him and just, you know, making sure everybody played by the rules. He was very big on that.
You know, I wonder what Jimmy is working on this year specifically on his game, and maybe this is a question you can ask him in Vegas, or we'll ask him next week when he's in Chicago. The last 2 years, he's made such a point, and Jimmy will always say, I'm working on everything to be the most well-rounded basketball players. But in summer 2014, he was a really bad three-point shooter, and leading into that breakout 14-15 season, he got better at three-point shooting. He came out of the gate real hot as a three-point shooter that year, I think, and it obviously leveled off, but he did take, like, a 6-7% three-point percentage jump that year. Obviously, last year he struggled mightily from three-point territory, but he did work on that in summer 2014. Summer 2015, a year ago, at this time, Jimmy Butler got a lot better at ball handling, so he could kind of be point Jimmy and run the pick and roll more. And I wonder if there's anything specifically I haven't heard, I haven't seen. Maybe you know more than me. Maybe we need to ask him. But I do kind of wonder what's the next step or elevation of Jimmy's basketball game.
Well, I think what needs to happen is the three-point shooting needs to get back to where it was 2 years ago. Because, I mean, I'm looking it up on Basketball Reference right now. The jump is pretty dramatic. In 2013-14, he shot 28.3% from three-point range, which is not good at all. 2014-15, his first All-Star season, when he kind of had a breakout year, you know, within the league or you know, throughout the league, he shot 37.8%, which is pretty good. And then last year it went back down to 31.2. So I think, I mean, I'm not expecting him to get back up to 37, 38, but he could at least get to 35 or 36 to where it's respectable enough that opponents have to at least guard him from out there. Then I think that would be pretty helpful, especially considering the lack of shooting that the other two of the three alphas have, when Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo.
That was a tremendous, tremendous low-key, subtle use of alphas right there. Like, you threw it in there, like, just like it was second nature, you know what I mean?
Hey, we've had, like, 2 weeks to get used to it now, right?
That's very true, but I would say I hold out a lot more hope for Jimmy Butler to improve his three-point shooting than D-Wade or Rondo.
Because, well, because he's so much younger than them, and he also doesn't have the health history that they have.
Yeah, and you've got to realize, too, like, that's important. We can just assume all the Bulls, those three alphas are bad three-point shooters, and they really have been below average and subpar. But if Butler can just draw a little bit more respect defensively and get back to league average or slightly above league average at three-point shooting, which is a reasonable expectation given that he is an all-star and he works hard on his game and he's aware of this. That's a reasonable expectation. I don't know if it'll happen. But if it does, that is important to draw that defense a little more, because every single shooter you have stationed at the three-point line who is a respectable threat, at least league average, that does matter. It's the guys who you can just ignore where it's the problem, and that just contorts and twists everything you do offensively because the defense can pack it in the paint. So that, you're right that maybe should just be Jimmy Butler's goal this summer, is just get better at three-point shooting again if there is one main area and focus for him here in the coming months.
Yeah, so we have a few Twitter questions, but before we get to that, I just want to quickly address the big news in the NBA of the day is that, you know, there were reports this morning and then the league made it official this afternoon. They are not going to have the All-Star game in Charlotte this coming season because of the HB2 bill with the transgender bathroom bill. They have been talking for a while about pulling it out of Charlotte if they didn't change that law in North Carolina, and they actually are doing that. We don't know where it's going to be yet, but it seems like from everybody I've talked to out here and just from what people are, from what reports are saying, New Orleans is probably the most likely scenario, which is fine by me. I had a very good time in New Orleans in 2014 for the All-Star game. But Brian Windhorst at ESPN is reporting that the other two cities that are sort of still options that the league is looking at are Chicago and New York. So there might be a chance, you know, if something falls through with New Orleans, it seems like they're sort of the front runners at this point. But Chicago, you know, it's within the realm of possibility that Chicago could get the All-Star game this year.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, New Orleans is a terrific host. I mean, they host so many Super Bowls. They host a Sugar Bowl every year. So, I mean, it makes sense kind of to move big events there. They can host anything on a whim, too. They're kind of used to that. And I know this has created a lot of discussion. And we're by no means a political podcast. We're not getting into a ton of social issues, I don't think, anytime soon. But I would say what I like that Adam Silver is at least taking stands on this, because we've seen a lot of this lately, too, with LeBron James, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, D-Wade, at the ESPYs having a powerful speech kind of on the social issues, all the social issues right now we have with gun violence. With racial division and everything. I like that Adam Silver is just willing to speak up and do these things and use the NBA as a platform for what he views for the betterment of everyone and the good of the game, the good of our society, our country, because so many people do look up to the NBA and these superstars. And there's a lot of commissioners in the past, a lot of sports in the past. I think Rachel Nichols was saying this on the podcast on ESPN the other day, too, where no one's done anything. It's just kind of basketball separate from social issues for the last 20, 25 years. People were more concerned about their brands. It really hasn't been since the 60s and 70s, really, that a lot of these things have had athletes kind of stepping out front and talking about this, at least in the NBA. So I do like that Adam Silver isn't afraid to do this stuff and take a stand, and I thought he handled it well, too, because people have been calling for him to just kick it out for like months now or whatever, you know, get rid of it. And he's he's a very measured individual, a very smart individual. And he took his time on this and gave, you know, North Carolina opportunity to kind of change this, see how it would play out. And he didn't to his liking, so they moved it. So I thought he handled it well with the measured approach and not being afraid to take a stand on this, Sean.
Yeah, and I agree, and he's kind of in line with, you know, one of the first big things that he did when he became commissioner in 2014 was when the tape came out of Donald Sterling making racist comments. He came down hard on Sterling and put his foot down, and, I mean, you knew that this was something they took seriously because, you know, because this issue affects the, you know, with this law in North Carolina, it affects the LGBT community, and, you know, when you consider how open, you know, the league has been about acceptance of the gay community with, you know, with Jason Collins a few years ago becoming the first openly gay active player in any of the four major sports, and then also with how hard Adam Silver came down on new Chicago Bull Rajon Rondo for saying something homophobic to Bill Kennedy, a referee who later came out as gay. You know, this is something you knew that this is an issue in particular that they take seriously. And so with Adam Silver saying for months, yeah, we're looking at maybe moving the All-Star game, it was never going to be an idle threat. You knew that if they didn't change the law, the league was not going to be afraid to do this.
Yeah, and I think you brought up the Silver, or Adam Silver, Donald Sterling thing when he just had become commissioner back early 2014, spring, summer 2014.
Yeah.
And I think that is lost upon some people, how just cold-blooded and strong and powerful of a move that was by Adam Silver, because the specifics of the details of the legality of it, basically forcing someone to sell based on a private conversation that was recorded in their home that they didn't know about, that was a big legal hurdle to clear, and he did not care about the legality of the letter of the law, I guess you should say. He just knew what was right and wrong in his heart, and he got the public support. He got support from other owners. He went behind the scenes, and he took a personal stand immediately, strongly, saying this won't be tolerated. And it's almost just like a groundswell of support, like a rising tide that allowed that to happen and have Donald Sterling sell. And I know he got like $2.2 billion from Steve Ballmer or whatever, but that could have been a lot messier. It could have been dragged out. It could have been worse for all parties involved if Silver hadn't handled that so well and so powerfully. And I think that, I mean, that was, he came out strong as commissioner back then, earned a lot of respect with that. But that might be like the most difficult thing he even faces. That's his entire career and tenure as the commissioner. It happened right away. But I think that gets lost on some people sometimes, how difficult of a situation that was.
Yeah, totally. So moving on, I mean, I think we've covered that enough. You know, there's a chance that the Chicago is going to have the All-Star game next year, which is relevant to us, but it seems like it's unlikely. It seems like New Orleans is probably going to be the place. The Bulls, I would imagine, are going to have two All-Stars next year, because I have to think between the Heat fans that still love him, and now he's got the Chicago fans, and he's so popular in China, I have to think that Dwayne Wade is going to be voted by the fans as a starter for the All-Star game in the East. And Jimmy Butler, if he has the kind of year that he's had the last couple of years, he's going to be selected as an All-Star. So the Bulls are going to have two All-Stars next year, wherever it's played.
We got to take an aside, a moment in time again, to reference Dwayne Wade's Snapchat. Still on his promotional tour in China. I think it's into its second week now.
He and Gabby are still out there.
The one I got a real, real kick out of. Like, we all think Dwayne Wade, you know, he's different from us. He's different from the common folk. He's not an average Joe because he's a superstar NBA player. He's really rich. Hell, he played with LeBron James and won championships. And he has a gorgeous wife who's an A-list actor and a celebrity. No. Dwayne Wade's just like us. He Snapchatted from his 5-star hotel in China, probably with room service in the background and whatnot. He Snapchatted about how he hadn't showered all day at all. And it was like late at night, and he was trying to decide, after he wore the same shirt all day and hadn't showered all day, he was trying to decide whether he should shower or not. And I don't know if this was Monday, Tuesday. I'm a little confused back in China with the time difference and then the difference on the timestamps of the Snapchat. But Dwayne Wade was seriously considering, you know, I don't know if I'm going to shower or not. I'm so tired, I might just fall asleep right now. And I just want to let you know, like, that's what the common man does, right, Sean? Like, that's one of our problems. So our problems are also Dwayne Wade's problems. I just thought we should point that out.
The struggle is so real. I have never related to an NBA player as much as I did in that instance, except for in 2011, and I still remember this tweet when Uber. This was back when I was using a BlackBerry. LeBron tweeted something about Uber Twitter, which was the BlackBerry app for Twitter of choice, being down, and he said, I'm struggling out here. No Uber Twitter is no joke. And I was just like, wow, I have exactly the same struggle as LeBron James right now, because the official Twitter app for BlackBerry was terrible. So I definitely felt LeBron's pain there. My favorite part of the Dwayne Wade Snapchat story the last couple of weeks while he's been in China was because he has these Wade shops. I don't know if they're Li Ning stores or like Wade stores, but he has his own line of stuff there through Li Ning. So he was in the middle. He was at one of his stores somewhere in China and just set up in the middle of the store while people were were, you know, shopping and just, you know, doing normal things you would do in a store like that, just like shopping, trying on shoes, one of his boys was getting his legs worked on by a masseuse just in the middle of the store. And that's just such a power move to just say, you know what, we're out shopping, I want to get a massage, I'm just going to get a massage right here in the middle of the store.
That is terrific. We should point out, I know you're out there and you're like, oh no, Dwayne Wade's not working on his basketball game, whatever, he's not taking care of himself, he's drinking too much of his own brand name Wade wine on this tour and such. He is snapping his morning or evening workouts whenever he's working out. He'll send a few Snapchats, too. So Dwayne Wade is staying in shape as much as he can. Probably not quite as much as Jimmy Butler's three-day workouts and Las Vegas and Team USA commitments. But D-Wade is still out there getting better at basketball. A couple of the guys behind him on the depth chart in the backcourt are Jaren Grant and Spencer Dinwiddie. They were both on the Vegas Summer League team for the Bulls that won the title. And Matt Snydell asked us via email, and you can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com, says, are we sure Jaren Grant is better than Spencer Dinwiddie? I personally liked Dinwiddie's game better when I watched him in Summer League. For reference, Jaren Grant averaged shy of 13 points in Summer League on 35% shooting. Dinwiddie averaged just shy of 11 points on 37% shooting. They were both poor three-point shooters in Summer League. Sean, what say you on that regard and topic?
I don't think we can say definitively that Jaren Grant is better than Spencer Dinwiddie because both of them have played so little on the NBA level. You can't really look at Summer League as too much of an indicator of any of this stuff. But, you know, I mean, the Bulls like Spencer Dinwiddie enough that even after they had to waive him in order to clear the cap space to sign Wade, they still said, look, you are still going to be on our Summer League team. We still want you in camp. You still have a real chance of making the team. And everybody I've talked to in the organization over the last couple weeks say that he does have a real chance at making the roster out of training camp. So, you know, they do like him. And Jaren Grant is a guy that they liked last year in the draft, and I know he has a little bit more status because he was a first-round pick and he was part of the Derrick Rose trade. So he's probably higher on the depth chart right now, but if you told me this, you know, let's fast forward to February. If you told me that Spencer Dinwiddie has replaced Jaren Grant as the backup point guard behind Rondo, would it shock? I mean, it would surprise me a little bit. Would it shock me? No, it wouldn't.
I don't think it would shock me either. I don't know enough yet about them, and I agree with most of what you said. Jaren Grant needs to prove himself because I thought he was pretty bad for six games, so no. I don't want to read too much into seven games either in Summer League. We'll know more when they play with better players, but certainly no guarantee there. I do think you missed an incredible chance, Sean. I almost thought you were going to say the Bulls like Spencer Dinwiddie so much that they were willing to part with Cam Barisdow in a trade for him. I thought you were on the verge of saying that.
Well, you have to give up talent to get talent, and that's just a decision that the Bulls ended up having to make.
Well, real talent. Here's a real talent. His name's Boogie Cousins.
By the way, Cameron Bairstow is on the Australian Olympic team, so he is also going to be playing in Rio next month.
Another Bulls connection. There we go. Another Bulls connection that we'll have to watch in the Olympics. But Boogie, at Greek Bulls fan, asked us on Twitter, any chance the Bulls trade for Boogie Cousins? He's always in the trade rumor mill. But the Kings have a new coach, Dave Yeager, who they like, who's been respected before, got along with all his players in Memphis, where he was successful, didn't exactly get along and see eye to eye with ownership management. But it seems like Dave Yeager and Boogie Cousins have a good relationship so far. Boogie seems most confused about the front office continually drafting big men when they already have him and other big men. But any chance the Bulls trade for Boogie Cousins, Sean?
I don't see it. I think, first of all, I don't think that the Kings are at the point now where they're really looking to trade DeMarcus Cousins. You have to remember, they're opening a new arena this season, and it's not really the thing to do to say to your fans, look, we just opened this expensive new arena with, I think, around $200 million in public financing, by the way. You hear, buy season tickets, pay, you know, market price for season tickets, and by the way, we're going to trade our best player and our most popular player. So first of all, I don't think that the Kings are really in this situation right now where they're looking to trade him at all. But if they are going to trade him, what package do the Bulls have to include that that doesn't include Jimmy Butler? Because you trade for DeMarcus Cousins to pair him with Jimmy Butler. What if you if Jimmy is not part of the trade? What do the Bulls have to trade? They're not going to do it for like Doug McDermott and their own pick back. Like it would have to be something a lot more than that. And I just don't think the Bulls have those kinds of assets on their roster. If you know, if DeMarcus somehow becomes available, the Lakers have better stuff to trade. The Celtics have better stuff to trade. Like there are other teams that you can look at them and say, yeah, they have these picks or these players that would be attractive to Sacramento. I just, outside of Jimmy Butler, who I would assume would be off the table in this situation, I just don't think the Bulls really have anything to offer that Sacramento would be that interested in.
People need to realize, because he's in Sacramento and because the Kings have struggled and because Boogie has kind of been a handful, just off the court, not getting along with coaches all the time, people kind of forget, I think, how awesome he is. I mean, he averaged like 26 or 27 points and 12 rebounds and is an efficient player on the basketball floor, can take people off the dribble, and is a willing passer, too. He is an amazing basketball player who is surrounded with better talent, and hopefully now he can blossom too with a coach he gets along with better. He could even, I mean, land on people's radar more as like a top five, top six NBA player, conceivably. He is amazing at basketball, and the Bulls don't have anything close at all via the trade assets to acquire him, like you said, John. I just think people need to remember that. But we'll wrap this podcast up with a question from Jamarcus on Twitter. Does getting Dwayne Wade this offseason give the Bulls a chance of landing free agent to be Chris Paul next offseason? What do you think, Sean?
Again, I doubt it. I think the Dwayne Wade thing happened here this summer for a very specific reason, which is that he was never able to agree to a contract with the Heat to stay there, because I think if Dwayne Wade had his way, he would still be in Miami and they would be paying him something close to what the Bulls paid him. But, you know, that wasn't really in the cards. And then Dwayne Wade, unlike Chris Paul, is from Chicago. Chris Paul is not from Chicago, so he's not going to have any, you know, real connection to Chicago. He's not going to, you know, the other thing about Chris Paul is, you know, if he does leave the Clippers, and that's very possible because Blake Griffin is also going to be a free agent next summer and he might leave too. And, you know, there's kind of this feeling, you know, with Kevin Durant being on the Warriors now, this Clippers team, if they were going to break through in the West, they would have done it. Chris Paul's biggest thing now is, like, the big knock on him is that he's never been to the Western Conference Finals. So, you know, if he goes anywhere, it's going to be a team that gives him the best chance at winning a title. Do you see the Bulls, even if they get Chris Paul, who will be, I think, 31 next season, if they get Chris Paul, does that make them favorites to make the conference finals? Because I'm not sure it does.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it gives them slightly more of a fighting chance against LeBron and his Cavs. I don't even think it guarantees much more than a second-round playoff berth, as you kind of pointed out. I think that's far-fetched, too, landing Chris Paul next year. I mean, we haven't even heard anything, any rumors, any whispers about that next year, and we haven't heard a lot of that anyway about the 2017 class. I think all eyes are on Russell Westbrook in his last year and under contract in Oklahoma City, and we'll know more as that plays out. If he gets traded, if they hang on to him, they're going to flip him before the season, in the season at the deadline, something along those lines. But real strong point guard class next year with Steph Curry, who everyone expects to go back to Warriors, on the market, but Kyle Lowry as well as Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. So we'll keep an eye on that. As always, you can email us questions at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. If you have any advertising inquiries, please email us as well. Hit us up on Twitter at lockedonbulls, at Mikan, at Cody Westerlin. Most of all, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Audioboom. And you will find Sean in Las Vegas until, I think, Saturday morning when he returns to the Midwest in Chicago. Is that right?
I will be back on Saturday, and I will be at all of the Team USA stuff in Chicago next week. So we will have plenty of episodes for you from that stuff, because we're going to get some time with Jimmy Butler in Chicago. Tom Thibodeau is an assistant coach on Team USA, and he will also be back in Chicago, and this will be the first time he really faces the media. He did a little bit of stuff at the Combine, but it's going to be a lot bigger here. So there's going to be plenty of stuff to talk about next week. And then after that, the Olympics starts. And obviously with Jimmy playing for USA and Nico playing for Spain, there's going to be plenty to talk about there as well. So we will be still with you throughout the summer. And remember, again, subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us a 5-star review. And tell your Amazon Echo to tell Alexa, to play Locked on Bulls.
Alexa. There you go.
And we will be back with you later. We'll be back with you next week.